Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. Today's episode was first aired on 28th April 2016 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam. The summer month is on, and yes, the heat is quite a lot in Prashanthi Nilayam, but at the same time, this is a period when your mind is transported to those beautiful memories, those cool and soothing memories, those delightful and divine memories of Bhagwan in the hill stations of Ooty, in the hill station of Kodaikanal. Every year, after the Shivaratri celebrations in Prashanthi Nilayam, Bhagwan would go to Vrindavan, his ashram in Bangalore, and then in a few days, he would travel to either Kodaikanal and in the earlier years, to Ooty. And in each of these trips, Bhagwan would take along with him a few students and guests. And each one of these trips are extremely memorable, and they have so many facets to them. Why Bhagwan used to make these trips? Well, we will never know. His will is inscrutable. His design is incredible. But on the face of it, what was so apparent is if Bhagwan stayed in Prashanthi Nilayam, the devotees also stayed in Prashanthi Nilayam and they had to suffer the heat of Prashanthi Nilayam. And Bhagwan was never comfortable seeing the devotees put to inconvenience. And that is the reason why the moment the temperature used to go up in Prashanthi Nilayam, he used to always go to Vrindavan. And as I mentioned, there were always a group of boys with him. And if you listen to the experiences of students who have traveled with Bhagwan to Kodaikanal, you get to see how Bhagwan at every moment was doing only one thing. He was only conveying very profound lessons. Living with God is true education, and this was the time period when Bhagwan gave a few chosen students that opportunity to actually live with him 24/7 under the same roof, so that they could learn what is spirituality from the fountain of spirituality. They had the chance to witness those facets of Bhagwan which are not so transparent to the devotees, not so transparent to even the other students during the year, because you get to see Bhagwan only during darshans and bhajans. But this group of students who had the opportunity to stay with Bhagwan had the chance to see how the avatar works, how the avatar eats, how the avatar moves, how the avatar talks, how the avatar jokes from dawn to dusk. And as we think of Bhagwan in the summer months, I feel the best way to contemplate on Swami is to relive those memories, those cool and soothing memories, which will nullify everything that is around us, nullify anything that is not cool and not soothing around us, because that is the overpowering nature of Shravanam, Mananam and Adityasanam. That is what thinking about him, ruminating on him and then implementing those learnings into action can do to us. And with prayers to Bhagwan, let's endeavor today to immerse ourselves in some of those beautiful memories of Bhagwan in the Blue Mountains. And to help us in this endeavor, we have today Brother Deepak Anand, a former student of Bhagwan's university, who is currently a faculty member in the Department of Management Studies in the Prashanthi Nilayam campus. So that is what we will be doing in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
See you. So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, and today we are going to discuss about those cloud nine moments, the sunshine moments of Sai in the Blue Mountains. So welcome, Brother Deepak Anand, to Outside Inside, Deep Inside.
Thank you very much, Bhushu. I'm so happy to be here. And by the way, the name of our department has now changed since you passed out to Department of Management and Commerce from Department of Management and Studies.
Oh, the commerce is added now?
Yes.
Oh, okay, wonderful. It was earlier School of Business Management, Accounting and Finance.
Finance, yes.
It changed to Department of Management Studies.
Yes.
Now it is Department
of Management and Commerce.
Okay, that's good. Thanks for the update.
Transformation is always happening.
At every level. So tell us, Deepak, what memories does this summer bring you?
I think we should, just the thoughts of Kodaikanal bring so many smiles on my face that, you know, so many memories crowd around my mind. I don't know where to really start.
In that case, maybe you can talk about those lighter moments of Kodaikanal, because today you are just beaming with joy. Kodaikanal is bringing blossoms of smiles on your face. So why not share about those moments when, you know, you laughed with the Lord. Lord just regained you and you were lost in the joy of living with Bhagwan.
Absolutely, Vishu. I think one of the best formulas that Swami has given to his devotees as to, you know, how we should live our life. What is living spirituality? I think the best formula that Swami gave to one of the students when he asked him for a mantra. Mm-hmm. And Swami said, I'll give you a very good mantra, but you must practice that regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And said, Swami said, see, the mantra is, Lavu, Navu, Navu.
Oh, what is that?
Lavu means love.
Mm.
Truly love from your heart.
Mm.
And Navu means smile.
Okay.
Smile, always smile. Mm. And Navu. And just to make the rhyming correct, now means in now, in the present moment.
Oh,
in the present moment, love and smile truly.
Navu,
and that is living spirituality.
Navu smile in Telugu.
Navu is smile in Telugu.
So, Navu.
Navu. Navu.
Navu is English.
Navu is English.
Oh, it is a mixture of English,
English and Telugu.
But beautiful, huh?
Beautiful.
Amazing. Swami is always a beautiful master of playing with words.
And I'm telling you, Vishu, this particular formula that if you can truly love and truly smile every moment of your life, you are not only progressing towards your goal of spirituality, you are living in spirituality.
That is so fantastic, because Bhagwan, I remember in one discourse he mentioned that the true mark of spirituality is that smile on your face.
Smile on your face.
Spirituality does not mean you lead a dry life, an ascetic life, and, you know, you're dispassionate with everything.
Or some would say the castor-oil faces are not spiritual at all.
Not spiritual at all.
They're the antithesis of spirituality.
Yeah, exactly. If you are spiritual, you should smile.
Always be smiling, yes.
Always be smiling.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
And I think as we also know that laughter is the best medicine. And when you're truly laughing, you're truly happy, you are always embedded in the present moment. So there's a power of now that laughter brings upon, you know, in your life.
Yes.
We should always be smiling and always be loving.
And in fact, I have seen those people who are all the time smiling.
Mm.
If they can just take anything in their life in that spirit.
In that spirit, yes, yes.
They are actually healthy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are so many cases where people with terminal, you know, diseases have cured themselves just by always thinking of positive things and smiling all the time and laughing. So this is really a very powerful medicine, really, of our life. With so many tensions around us, so many toxins of various kinds around us, I think this is the best detox of life, of a modern life.
Absolutely.
You should laugh everything away.
Yes.
And that is the way Swami has truly lived. And I think in Kodaikanal especially, Vishu, the true nature of Bhagwan is visible from very close quarters.
Mm.
When you see him in Prashanthi Nilayam, Swami says it's like his office, right? And playground is Kodaikanal. Swami says that is where we see the true aspects of, you know, the smiling and loving Bhagwan.
Mm.
And there's so many instances that come to my mind where our chiefs would have just started paining with laughter.
Yeah. Yes.
Along with Swami.
Yes, yes.
Maybe start with one small instance, and when we are in Kodaikanal, I remember the year 1998. We were praying to Swami, and Swami said, I'll take you for a picnic.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a hilltop bungalow, which is very beautiful, on the topmost part of the Kodaikanal. And we all were traveling in a bus, and Swami was traveling with us in the bus.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful moment of togetherness with Swami. Swami sitting in the first seat, and we are crowding around Bhagwan. And Swami was also laughing and sometimes singing, and we were singing, Swami was playing the talam.
Okay.
Suddenly Swami got up and he asked us, have you seen the nose stud of Kumari Amman? Do you know the temple at Cape Comorin or Kanyakumari?
Yes.
That particular nose stud on the nose pin of the mother's statue is so beautiful, so glittering that, you know, people, the ship used to think it is a lighthouse, in fact, they used to crash to the shore.
Oh.
And it was, Swami said, have you ever seen that? And of course, we had never seen that. Mm. Swami just waved his hand and materialized that beautiful diamond. It was so glittering, which I can't explain to you in words.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, you change one degree angle, the whole color of the jewel would change. And we were all mesmerized by it. It was like, you know, a shining lighthouse in the hand of Bhagwan.
Mm.
And Swami looked down and said, hey, somebody give me a handkerchief. Mm. I would like to keep it for some time.
Hmm.
So, we had our Vrindavan warden now, Ravi Kumar, sir. He immediately took off his handkerchief and said, Swami, here is a handkerchief. And Swami said, okay, now keep it carefully, okay? Don't lose it. It is very important for you.
Hmm.
And he said, yes, Swami. Swami was holding with both the hands the handkerchief and said, Swami, I'll be keeping it very carefully. Nothing to worry.
Hmm.
Swami just dropped it from the top in the air into his open palms, and by the time it came down, it disappeared.
Oh my God.
And then Swami looked at him and said, hey, where is it? Give it to me.
Oh my God.
Swami, it never came. You know, it was just missing an action kind of thing. And Swami said, hey, in front of everybody I gave. And we also joined up, you know, in the chorus. Yes, Swami, you gave. We saw it. You were a witness to it. And Swami said, there are two police people, you know, always traveling along with Bhagwan.
Mm.
They had their own opportunity. And Swami looked towards one policeman and said, hey, you are which department? He said, Swami, I'm police department. Then he said, Ravi, see, police department, police is already here. You better give me fast. Otherwise, you had it. Oh, God, we roared with laughter. It just disappeared at that moment of time. And, you know, only what was left was joy and laughter.
Actually, when you think about it, it is such a profound moment. He is showing something really so exquisite.
Exquisite,
but
yes.
But you know, he makes it so light, actually. You have to be really smart to concentrate on what he is trying to convey.
Right.
Otherwise, you might just miss it, actually.
Yes. The revelation of divinity, that how he can materialize anything that he would like to, transport anything from anywhere and across the globe, and send it back in a few fractions of a second, is beyond space and time. That was the revelation.
For Bhagwan, as he used to always say, it is not for Pradarshan. It is not for exhibitionism. It is just a play. Sometimes he just wants to do it just to make us happy.
Right, right.
That's why, you know, he is not trying to say, see, I have created this. You know, did you notice that I have created this? That feeling is not there.
Not there.
It is just that I want to make you happy. So
but
I
when you look back at it, Bhushu, this chamatkar, no? What you say is chamatkar, the miracle, leads to kind of a samskar.
Yeah, really.
Kind of a, you know, deep intuitive faith,
yes.
A firm, deep-rooted faith in Bhagwan, that, you know, He is the one.
Suddenly
we come out of that particular mood that, you know, He is one amongst us.
Mm.
As Swami will sometimes stoop down to our level to make us feel that He is one amongst us.
Mm.
By these miracles, suddenly we just recall and remember, oh God,
yes.
We are with God.
Yeah.
And then that leads to actually Sakshatkar.
Yeah.
Somehow, it's taking such deep roots in us that, you know, it is leading us on to Sakshatkar or God realization.
Mm.
Unknowing it is happening.
Yeah, that is the game. That is the way the Lord tries to put us onto the Godward path.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And these miracles are so commonplace with Swami, especially in Kodaikanal. I remember that we were all traveling back from Kodaikanal, and you know, we had a wonderful trip that particular year. And we were coming back, but Swami now at the moment of time was traveling in his own car, and our bus was just following Swami's BMW car. It was, you know, we were feeling so excruciatingly separated from Swami, having been and lived with Swami, as you said, no, for 24/7, and now we felt really a distance between us and Swami come by, because Swami is traveling in his car ahead of us, behind him is a security jeep, and then our bus is following. So we were feeling, Swami, now is it going to be like this, that we're going to be separated from you? Suddenly Swami's car stops.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami walks up to the bus on that hot burning tar road.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we are all feeling so pained, but the time was so short, nobody could do anything about it. And Swami came to the bus, and I held my hand to Swami too, because the step was very big.
Mm-hmm.
And I held my hand. And Swami looked to me and said, hey, do you think you can uplift God? No, Swami, I just, this is an opportunity for me, Swami. Swami came into the bus and, you know, sat in the front seat, and then, you know, he made us all forget about the pain that he had undergone by walking on that hot tar road, which even policemen were not able to keep their feet on. They started wearing their shoes the moment they kept their feet down. But Swami, barefooted, those delicate feet of Bhagwan, he came all the way and gave us that joy. And then the moment he came in, he said, hey, did you eat anything what I kept for you?
Oh.
He said, no, Swami, we have not eaten anything. Hey, come on, get the apples, get this thing, get those sweets, get the, you know, the hearts and everything. And Swami started distributing to all of us. But at this point in time, I was feeling very disheartened that Swami had to bear so much of pain for giving us this joy.
Hmm.
So instead of, you know, standing in front of Bhagwan, I sat on the seat of the bus, just behind Swami's seat, chair, and started massaging his feet.
Mm-hmm.
At least let me do a little bit to alleviate the suffering that he has gone by for us. So everybody nearly forgot. There was a jungle of legs around me. I was just drowned in that, sitting on the floor of the bus. Suddenly Swami said, okay, now get tetra packs. And everybody, Swami gave tetra packs. And then he asked, did everybody get? Everybody said, Swami, yes, we have got. Everybody forgot about me. Swami said, okay, give me one more.
You were sitting down.
Behind, just behind Swami. On his right side, just behind Swami. And I was totally lost. Nobody really remembered me. And everybody said, Swami, yes, we've all received tetra packs. And Swami asked for one more. So he put the straw into the tetra pack. And then, you know, from a distance, he, as if he was drinking tetra pack, you know, he was gesticulating as if, you know, that histrionic, that master actor that Swami is. And everybody was laughing and enjoying. And you would not believe what happened then. Without even looking towards where I was, Swami, with a one reverse swing of his hands, put the straw straight into my mouth.
Oh wow. You were behind him.
I was behind physically.
He has no
not seen me at all.
Mm.
But between the legs, the way Swami, you know, turned his hand around and inserted the straw straight into my mouth, everybody looked towards, you know, where the straw was going to. And then they discovered me.
Oh wow.
And everybody, you know, was so overjoyed, so happy. Yeah. Swami never forgets.
Never forgets. Yes. Yeah. If you are thinking of God, can it ever happen that God is not thinking of you?
Absolutely. Impossible. Impossible. Swami says, you look to me, I look to you. That is what I've always experienced. If you are remembering Swami, Swami is always remembering you.
Mm.
It so happened, you know, in this particular context, I remember one instance in 2002. We already were doing a research that time, and Swami came for a sports meet rehearsal. And I was in the gents gallery behind, and Swami's chairs was near the road, and Swami was looking at the rehearsals. And I was really pining for Swami's proximity, but I got to know a little late that Swami's come. I had to run up, and there was no place next to Swami, so I was sitting right behind. Suddenly Swami turned towards the vice chancellor and said, Deepak.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And the VC told the warden, and warden started looking for somebody, and somebody said, hey, Swami is calling you. And you know, a path was made for me, and I just sat next to Bhagwan, and he just kept his hand on my shoulder, did not speak a word, kept looking up the entire program for next half an hour's time. But in those moments of silence, you know, in that proximity, the greatest lesson of life, I think, was delivered by Bhagwan, that if you yearn for him truly from your heart, you really earn him and get his proximity and his grace.
Wow. If you yearn for him, you earn his
grace. Earn his grace.
You earn him.
Yes, you earn him.
Oh, wow.
That's the only way, I think, that you can earn Swami.
That is intensity.
That intensity.
There is no need of any other capability or talent to have the Lord's proximity. All it needs is that intensity.
Intensity. But when I came first to Bhagwan, you know, it was a kind of a homecoming for me. I had pined for a number of years to come to Bhagwan, and when we got the first opportunity to really be close to Bhagwan was the time when there was a Pada Puja Mahotsavam, or a festival organized by the Mr. Madurai Chettiars. And you know, all the gifts which were brought were all scattered around Poonachandra, and Swami gave a chance to a few of us MBA boys to segregate them. So all the pencils and rubbers will go to the primary school and things like those, you know.
Yes.
After the segregation was over, Swami was very happy with all of us. So Swami went to the Poonachandra inside and came back with a casserole filled with hot bhajis.
Oh, okay, wow.
And you know, we were all standing in the D, you know, where the chairs are kept. And Swami was standing on the stage and he started throwing the bhajis at us, one by one. And it was a good catching practice for all of us. Mm. We were so scared to miss the catch, you know, that Swami is giving something, you don't miss it.
Mm.
So after all this was over and we were so happy, we forgot that, you know, we had to offer anything to Bhagwan also. So we started eating, and Swami showed us the empty casserole. So once we realized that, you know, we have not offered anything to Bhagwan at all, one boy went in very sheepishly, and you know, whatever he was having in his hand, he offered to Swami. And Swami from the top only, you know, as if he's taking it and, you know, started munching it. And then he wiped his face and lips as if, you know, he had it and he's very satisfied with it. See, you know, the message is that what you offer from your heart reaches Swami.
That's all.
It is not a physical offering, but it is, you know, the heartful offering that reaches the fullness of Bhagwan.
If that feeling is from the heart, then he has received it.
He has received it.
Wow.
And after this happened, Swami, I did not know Telugu at all. So, but Swami will converse with me only in Telugu. So, you'll make it a point. But I was trying to learn from Swami's discourses, and I would make notes and all that, but all the grammar was wrong, Bishu. All the grammar. Later I realized, I fell into a trap. And that time Swami looked towards me and said, hey, my parenti. I was looking, seeing stars, you know, but I knew that his name. What's your name? No, I was asking. So I thought I should reply to Bhagwan. This opportunity for me to showcase my Telugu skills. And I made the mistake and said, Swami, Telugu ledu Swami. Meaning, Telugu is not there. It doesn't exist.
Oh my God. You wanted to tell that
I don't know Telugu.
But you said Telugu itself is not there.
It's not there. Swami laughed heartily and said, and everybody laughed around me, and then Swami said, Telugu undi ra, Telugu is there, Baba. I don't know Telugu. Telugu radu chappu.
Say that I don't know Telugu. Telugu is there. It has not vanished.
Then Swami said, "Now tell me, ni pere enti." So I was so excited now that I knew the meaning of what he was asking. So I said, "Swami Deepak Swami." It came like that. Swami Deepak Swami. And Swami said, "Hey, not Deepak Swami, only Deepak. In Puttaparthi, only one Swami." And again.
So you said your name is Deepak Swami.
No, it came like that. I understand.
Yeah.
Swami said, "In Puttaparthi, only one Swami. You are not Deepak Swami, you are only Deepak." Let's be clear about our roles. So, these are all these, you know, particular moments, which are eternally blissful moments. Absolutely. We can never forget them. Whenever you are morose, whenever you are down, I think you just think about those beautiful moments with Swami and relive them. In fact, that reliving is most important. As it happened one day when one of the schoolboys was sitting between the third and fourth portico. That is a path when Swami will cross ladies side and cut between the boys. There's a path.
Yes.
Which is called between third and fourth portico. And this boy sat in the end of the fourth portico, right in the corner. And he got up and as Swami came, he asked, "Swami, can I take Pad Namaskar?" And this boy would always ask for Pad Namaskar and then take it and not take it involuntarily without asking Swami. And Swami said, "Okay, take." And he took Pad Namaskar. So he felt very happy about it. The next day again he sat on the same place. And then again Swami came. And again he asked Swami, "Can I take Pad Namaskar?" He thought Swami will say yes. And because he ran in the front, he got the best place in the corner, and he's asking Swami. And Swami said, "Why do you need Pad Namaskar?" So what can a devotee say in that kind of when question is asked? He said, "Swami, because I love you." And Swami said, "Okay, but the fact that you love me automatically means that I love you 1,000-fold more. But why do you need Pad Namaskar?" So he had no answer. And Swami looked towards, him and said, "See, if only you contemplate on the Pad Namaskar given to you yesterday, again and again in your mind, that by itself is enough for you to merge in me."
Oh, wow. He said that.
Look at the gravity of the revelation that Swami made. He said that you have had one darshan of Bhagwan. You have had one sambhashanam from Swami. You had one sparshanam from Swami. That is enough for you. Because that one darshan of Swami, that one glimpse of Swami, if you contemplate in your mind again and again, that is enough to emulate the mind and make you one with me.
It's like you are experiencing that again and again
and again. And that is the power of one proximate darshan or one, vision of Bhagwan. And I really feel how fortunate we are, as students, that we have had so many beautiful moments of lovingness, of laughter, of proximity with Bhagwan. And these are immeasurable treasure trove which should be shared with everybody. Because when you share, Swami says, it is that, joy multiplies.
Yes.
And you also get a share of that.
Yes.
So sharing, expansion of love, sharing of those precious moments is expanding the treasure.
Because then so many people can relate to them. So many people can relive them. So many people can beautify and sublimate their lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes Swami will just come down to such a human level. He says, "I am a child with children." And I've seen that so many times. I remember very vividly that was a Diwali time. And you remember when Swami was staying in Poonchandra, in the Sarvadharma Stupa around that particular garden, we would put big rows of crackers.
Yes.
And they'll on the rooftop there'll be those particular fountains.
Yes.
Beautiful crackers. And then rockets and other things. So it would always be the norm that Swami used to earlier come and start the first lighting of that row of crackers.
Yes.
But later Swami would not do that personally, but Swami, we would put a button for Swami, an electrical ignition. Near Poonchandra, but Swami would sit, and with that electrical ignition, that crackers will start bursting. And so it so happened that we were all crowded around Swami, and then Swami went inside the Poonchandra, and along with him was a VIP, very prominent VIP. And Swami showed to him, how this particular button, operates, and when Swami will press that particular button, the crackers will all start and the fireworks will start. But you know, this particular boy in the maintenance department who was supposed to be taking care of this, we had told him, see, if Swami presses a button sometimes, you know, the ignition will not go. If it doesn't happen, no, then you have to physically light up the crackers.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a backup plan, insurance. So Swami was telling this particular, showing this particular button to Dr. Goldstein, maybe reveal the name, and then Swami went inside. So, but this particular boy, because it was not very lighted up, it was a little dark, he thought Swami had actually pressed the button, but it did not ignite.
Oh.
So he took up the, you know, the matchbox and he started the fireworks.
Oh, Swami had not done that. Oh my God.
And Swami immediately came running back and scolded Dr. Goldstein and said, why did you start it? I was supposed to do it.
Oh my God.
And you can imagine the state of Dr. Goldstein. Said, Swami, I didn't start it, Swami. No, you would have only pressed it. How did it start otherwise? I was supposed to press it.
Oh my God.
Swami, you know, was playing. And then Swami looked over that and smiled naughtily. You know, you see? All, you know, Swami's histrionics and dramas.
Wow. Diwali started actually in a very, very bright note.
Bright note.
Light and bright and laughter.
And Swami told him, you see, bad boy, you started without my permission. I was supposed to press it.
Oh wow. Swami used to love Dr. Goldstein.
Oh, very much. Oh,
so,
very
you
much.
Know, he just loved to play.
And he could take, you know, liberty with him and, you know, play naughty tricks like that with him. Not with
us. Yes.
That was, you know, the proximity that he enjoyed with Bhagwan. Beautiful it was. Another instance which I remember in a similar kind, another instance which comes to my mind, is that during the sports meet time, Swami would ask, you know, all the prasadam which is to be distributed because it will be very hot. So children need, you know, juices and, you know, snacks items. And Swami before the sports meet would call us inside and say, segregate them. This is for primary school, so many numbers, for secondary school, college, Anandpur, and so on and so forth. In one of those boxes that particular year, 1999, there were some, you know, that polo, that mint.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had some commemorative year that day. So they had made boxes in the shape of polo, plastic boxes. And there was a small pop-up button where it'll, the, you know, the window will open and small, small pellets of polo will be available.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami, I was carrying those particular boxes. Swami asked me, what is in that particular box? So I showed to Swami this particular polo box. And Swami said, what is it? NTD, what is it? And all, he was so excited about knowing what is there inside that. So I pressed a particular button, said, it just popped up like that. And Swami was so excited. Oh, it pops up like that, is it? It opens up like this, is it? Then I showed Swami those particular small, small pellets. Then I closed it off and I kept it back. Swami said, no, I also want to operate it.
Oh, you also wanted to press it.
I want to press it and see.
Pop out.
So I gave him a particular box. But Swami purposefully pressed at the wrong places.
Oh.
And looked very innocently at me, you know, see, it is not opening, I'm not able to open it, can you not help me? Like that.
Oh.
I had to take Swami's finger and put it in the right spot and then press. And it just opened up.
Oh.
And Swami became so happy with that.
Oh, wow.
And he gave, you know, those small, small pellets to everybody. And I was happily having it. And Swami said, hey, if you have the whole thing now and your wife gets to know in future, she will take care of you, okay? You better not finish everything. It was just amazingly beautiful moments.
Just to give you that opportunity, you know, you see, to actually touch the Lord. And when God becomes so childlike, He is so sweet, you see those facets of Bhagwan which are so innocent.
Absolutely.
So innocent. And I think that is one thing that I have seen with Bhagwan also. Many times, he would be so childlike.
Absolutely.
That is, a newborn is perhaps closest to God, you know.
Truly so. Truly so.
In his or her purity. And they are always very radiant, you know.
Yes.
A new child born.
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
So transparent.
So transparent.
Yes, absolutely.
Doesn't matter whichever part of the world he or she is born, whichever time of the day he or she is born, and how she is born. Any new child is pure.
Absolutely.
Any new child is such a bundle of joy.
Absolutely.
Which changes the entire ambience of that
of the household, yes. Because they are always connected with Swami.
Yeah.
That is why they say, you know, if we have to be close to God, we have to be childlike.
And with Bhagwan, that is one thing you have seen, isn't it, again and again? Those childlike facets of Swami used to be so much really childlike. Really 100%. Like a little one.
100%. And we got many opportunities, Vishu, when we were having the convocation dramas and, you know, we used to get the opportunity to play some part in the drama by His grace. So one of the dramas, you know, there was a scene where Tulsidas ji, a great sage, from North India. He's making sandalwood paste for the idols of Rama and Lakshmana. And Rama and Lakshmana themselves come in the garb of cowherd boys and they partake it. And understanding, you know, what has happened to, you know, that particular instance that Rama Lakshmana himself came, he sings a particular song. And, you know, it goes on very beautifully well. Once the rehearsal was over in the interview room, the discussion was happening with the, you know, the co-directors of the drama and the, you know, the music director. And they said that, you know, Swami Tulsidas ji is a Brahmin. So, Swami caught on that particular word Brahmin. And he started talking about the Brahmins of Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how much they will eat. They think, you know, that, you know, fish is a sea vegetable and it is a vegetarian thing and all that. And when they will eat so much, you know, they should not be able to walk back home. They should be carried back home. They should eat so much. That is their, you know, that benchmark of how much we can eat.
Oh my God.
And then Swami says when they go back home, then, you know, their stomach has to be, you know, massaged with coconut oil for digestion to happen. And Swami explained that so beautifully well, so much of histrionics, you know, that we all started laughing.
Mm.
Suddenly he became quiet and looked towards me and said, "Why are you laughing so much?" And I became so serious, everybody became serious, that Swami, you know, probably, you know, did not like that. You know, we were laughing so gaitily and happily and loudly. And the moment everybody became quiet, Swami started laughing again.
Oh my God.
Then Swami looked, after that he looked towards me and said, "Are you also Brahmin? Khata hai?" He showed, you know, that, you know, somebody eating from a bone. You know. Are you some Brahmins, you know, who are supposed to be actually vegetarian or non-vegetarian also? So I looked towards me and said, "Are you also Brahmin?" I said, "No, Swami, I'm Kshatriya like you."
Like you, you said.
I said, "Kshatriya like you." Swami said, "Yes, Kshatriya, but not like me."
Under illusion.
I scored that particular level. Swami was super scored over me also. He said, "Yes, Kshatriya, yes, but you are not like me at all." So it drove home the point very clearly to me.
That's amazing. I think if you see, in all of these moments, even though they are lighter moments, they are not so light at all.
Yes,
they are not light at all. None of them are light.
Yes, yes. So he's talking about, you know, those cultural norms which have gone awry and should, you know, come back to these things.
Yes.
Brahmins who are the peace-free class should not be eating non-veg, but they are. So, you know, he's in a way ridiculing them and telling them this is not the correct path.
Yes.
And, you know, whatever culture or religion you are born in, whatever its norms are, you must adopt them because they are pathways to spirituality.
Yes.
Understanding the deeper and inner meaning.
Yes. You should not go on preaching that you are God unless you have really experienced that.
Yes.
Unless you are really living that.
Yes.
When you actually live that and you tell Bhagwan, he will immediately bless you.
Yes.
But when it comes from the lips and not from the inner depths of deep experience, then he's always there to put us back onto the right track. cut to size.
Rightful assessment of where you are.
Yes, yes. Wow.
I also recall, Bishu, see, when we were in the hostel, there's so many instances, you know, when Swami would just walk into the hostel. You know, he will just say, we'll pray to Swami, "Swami, please come to the hostel." And I'll say, "Okay, I'm coming. Yeah. I'll be there in 5 minutes' time." You remember?
Yeah. I remember a few instances like that.
And you would run to the hostel to make basic preparations for Swami.
I know. No, you never expect that he will come.
He will come.
Suddenly
he's there.
Because there are many times where you have to pray for days and weeks for Swami to come.
Yeah.
And then another day you just pray and he said, "Okay, I'm coming.
I'm coming." Yeah. Yes, you know, we'll be taken aback by that. And we used to call Swami for, you know, each and everything.
Yeah.
If there's a hot water tap to be inaugurated, Swami is there to inaugurate the tap.
Yeah, I know.
If there's a room altar, we know we have made altars with thermocol, very basic primitive stuff.
Yeah.
Swami is there to come and inaugurate the altar.
Yeah,
walking up three floors of the hostel.
I know.
Amazing grace, is it not? You know, how much he's blessed us really. Unfathomable. And he would play, you know, all kind of jokes with the boys and, you know, make them really feel at home. I remember, you know, this was one article which was published in the Radio Sai, this in Journals Only, by Arvind Balasubramanian. And, you know, this I've also heard earlier from my elders in the hostel, so I think actually it's very relevant to, you know, the humorous aspect of Bhagwan and how it is, the lessons that go along with it. So, you know, in the hostel we have got many self-reliance departments. And there was a need for a kind of a small stores that boys don't have to order everything from the mandir stores every time, and something is available to them off the hand at a particular time in the hostel itself. So a small stores was inaugurated. And I said, "See, Swami is going to come. Swami is already going to come after the bhajans are over in the morning. and then he has to go back because his Swami will give interviews and things like those. But you must not take too much of time. We are inviting Swami. Swami has agreed to come to inaugurate the stores, but we should not take too much of time. Swami will be in a hurry to go back to the mandir. So all the students said, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, to the warden, and said, sir, we will not take much time. We'll take Padmanaskar Swami gives very quickly. So, you know, the warden got Swami, and then they came to the stores, and there were four boys standing there. So everybody was very clear that, you know, it has to be a quick go affair. Take namaskar and, you know, be blessed and let Swami to go. So the first boy, then when Swami came to the stores and said, what is there, what is available, toothbrushes, soaps and things like those. So Swami saw around and blessed the stores. And then the boys asked, Swami, can we take Padmanaskar? Swami said, yes, 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 quickly take it. The first boy took Padmanaskar very quickly and he got up. Second boy took Padmanaskar and he did not get up.
Oh.
He just put his head on Swami's feet and slept off.
Oh my God.
Only he was not snoring. And the third boy was feeling, fourth boy was feeling, okay, if he doesn't get up and Swami goes away, we will lose our opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
They were very, very, you know, tensed about what was happening. But this boy would not get up.
Mm-hmm.
And after nearly 2 or 3 minutes time, normally it should not take more than a few seconds time, 2 or 3 minutes time, this boy actually, when he got up, his eyes were tearing, his ears and nose were red.
Mm-hmm.
And really it was, maybe he was very emotionally charged up. And these boys thought, okay, let's take a namaskar first, before we lose it entirely.
Mm-hmm.
They took namaskar, and then when Swami had gone, they asked this particular boy, kept a hand around his shoulder and said, boy, what happened? You know, something wrong in the family, something you are very charged and emotional about.
Mm-hmm.
I know, sorry, we thought probably you have just slept off on Swami's feet, but you know, you have really have some genuine peace. Mm-hmm. Tell us, please share your problem with us.
Mm-hmm.
He says, what problem? Yaar, Swami caught my nose between his two toes.
Oh my God.
I was struggling with all my strength to release my nose from Swami's toes, but he did not let go. These are the tears of effort, not of devotion. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, the netkat kanaya.
Netkat kanaya. You just can't imagine, just imagine your nose caught as you're taking Padmanaskar between the two toes of Swami and you're not able to release it for 2 minutes.
And Swami would be pretending as if
Nothing is happening.
Nothing happened.
Very common. This fellow is not getting up, looking around and saying, why this is not getting up? I don't know anything about it. This is Swami, I'm telling you, naughtier than Krishna.
Yeah, we can't imagine that Swami is like this.
Is, yeah, yes, that is his more truer self than, you know, the official self of Bhagwan in darshan time.
Hmm.
I think that is really a drama. Darshan time is a drama. Very official, very godlike, you know, materializing, blessing, taking
love. But the thing is, he is godlike all the time.
Yes.
When he's giving darshan, he's godlike. When he's holding someone's nose seriously, also he's godlike.
Also godlike.
Just like Lord
yeah.
Krishna was.
Yes. Yes.
Just like Lord
Krishna. But there are two different personalities of Bhagwan, and one doesn't really, you know, if you see one, you really can't imagine the other, unless you've seen it.
But actually they don't contradict.
Yes. The underlying thread is there of his divinity, and what he's trying to deliver, and the message is very clear. He's giving to each person the way that person relates to him.
Yes.
For us students, you know, when we leave our homes and come to Swami, Swami is our most loving mother.
Yeah.
And he gives us that kind of a proximity and love as a mother would give to children.
As a friend.
As a guru, as a guide. As a mother more so.
When you think about it, just that moment, that one moment is enough for the student.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For entire lifetime, that moment is, that the Lord found me fit to play with.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Just the like Lord the Gopala found, the Vrindavan.
Yeah, the Lord found me fit to play with. You know, just like the Gopikas, they used to go and complain to Mother Yashoda that Krishna is troubling us and, you know, Krishna did this to us.
He's killing
us,
but...
But if Krishna doesn't do that, no, they'll miss him more.
More than that.
That will be a greater torture. There will be 100 times greater torture.
Why is Krishna not coming?
Yeah, it's a joy to be tortured by the
Lord. Tortured.
That's what you want, basically. But, you know, you want a drama. So you want to go and tell Yashoda. More opportunities to talk about the Lord. More opportunities to see again that mysterious.
All the excuses.
All the excuses.
All the excuses.
Excuse
and you know, in Kodaikanal, we would find excuses for that proximity with Swami. Like, you know, when Swami has finished the evening session, Swami would retire for the day and Swami would just climb up the steps. And you know, all of us will be waiting to accompany Swami till his room and up the steps.
Yes.
So what I would do is, I always would like from the last session of the day, I would sit, like to sit at the end. That, you know, when Swami goes up the steps, I'm the first one to be proximate to Swami. And Swami will keep his hand on our hand, we'll keep it on the railing.
Yes.
And, you know, we'll be able to hold Swami's arm and, you know, just, you know, take him to his room and say goodnight to him before he retires. It used to be such beautiful moments. So every day, you know, I would wait for the opportunity to, you know, be first with Swami. So I'll sit last. So one day as Swami just climbed these steps, the moment he looks towards us is an indication that we can come. So if he doesn't look at us or you know, just moves his head, you know, that subtle indication we have to be very careful about. So that particular day I was standing at the end, you know, just waiting for that indication from Bhagwan, and he has just put his foot on the first step. And Swami looked towards, a lady was sitting, was standing on the other side, next to the Bhagwan. And Swami looked towards us all of us and said, what? You're staring towards me like crocodiles? And spur of the moment, you know what I said? Swami, we are your children, Swami. And Swami looked to a lady's head and said, see, they are calling me mother crocodile. And you know, that small giggle of laughter first made into became a roar of laughter in a few seconds time. And everybody was laughing. See, then I realized, you know, I made a mistake. And you know, and Swami is telling, looking at me, crocodiles. And then he, we are your children, Swami. That means what? We are children crocodile. And Swami is mother crocodile. I said, see, they are calling me mother. How can you forget, Vishu? You
know? Even moments when, you know, we were so lack of smartness.
I know. We have those moments, all of us.
Because you don't know sometimes how to react.
Exactly.
You know, you're zapped. But he converts that into just some memorable
moment. Some memorable moment, yes. Yeah. He doesn't, you know, let go of the... The memory always remains sweet in the end.
Yeah.
It's always a sweet ending with Swami.
That is so true.
Mm. Like, you know, I also remember in the Bhajan Mandir, when Swami would come, he'll always walk through between the ladies' side and the students' side on the red carpet. Now, I will try and sit on next to the carpet, because when Swami would come, there will be opportunity to have Padmanaskar or, you know, to look at Swami or ask or give a letter to Swami. But on many occasions, Swami, when he comes towards me, you know, he'll look towards on the ladies' side to somebody. Of course, I can't look that side. It's very divine risk.
Absolutely dangerous.
I will look towards some lady there and said, hey, good boy, adopt karo. As if, you know, make him your son-in-law kind of thing. Some old lady, Swami will catch and said, maybe he was looking for a, you know, good match for her daughter, and said, hey, adopt karo.
Mm.
It happened, and then Swami will tell me also, huh, dekho, a very rich mother-in-law ho sakta hai, adopt karwa sakta hai, na? You can get adopted by him as his son-in-law. So this joke used to play, and everybody would laugh every time, and you know, at my expense. It used to be great fun, you know.
Mm.
But at one day, Swami came, and the same joke was continuing. And Swami was telling one particular lady there somewhere, old lady, dekho, this is a good boy, you can adopt this particular boy, he's a good match. you know, looking at, no, I was a little feeling, Swami, you're making me the source of joy for everybody else. Excuse me for one day. So I got up on my knees and said, Swami, you have already adopted me as your son.
Oh.
Swami looked towards me, glared at me, and looked towards the old lady and said, this boy is a mental problem. I'll find another one for you. And everybody laughed and roared. Oh God. Can you imagine, you know, every time we are with Swami, the first thing that we see is love and smiles.
Yes.
And I think that love just translates into smiles automatically. If you truly love, you truly smile also. I think they both go together.
Yes.
And that love and smile, you know, engraves us into the present moment. I think this is one of the wonderful formula that Swami has given us. Lavu, navu, navu. Love and smile in the present moment. Beautiful, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Once you love and you smile, that moment becomes a moment which is, as Bhagwan says, you know, omnipresent.
Omnipresent, yes.
That present is omnipresent.
Yes.
Because that moment is filled with so much of lightness.
Yes.
And so much of...
presenceness.
You are present
at that moment of time. You really cannot go to the past or the future.
Mm.
When you truly love and smile in the present moment, you are totally engraved in that omnipresence.
You are not bogged down with the worries of the past.
Absolutely.
Nor are you anxious about what is going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
So you are experiencing the best experience of the present moment.
In fullness. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think this would be Swami's demeanor with all those people who are close to him. And he would really, you know, sometimes treat everybody like children. Okay, there's no exceptions. With Swami, even if you are the, you know, the president to this thing, or you are the prime minister, or you are the head of the organizations, you're just children to Swami.
Yes.
In fact, once I was sitting in the second podium, as we, you know, used to call it earlier, and the prime minister of India, that time Atal Bihari Vajpayee sir, he was just walking behind and going towards the interview room. And Swami was talking to us boys. And I, you know, I just mentioned to Swami, I was asking about, you know, what is idli, how much idli did you have in the morning, was sambar given along with that, sambar is just like rasam and all that, you are not getting good food, I think, and all that. So I was telling about, you know, the daily mundane stuff. And behind Swami is the Prime Minister walking towards interview room. Swami is not looking at him.
Oh.
I thought probably I should inform Swami that, you know, the Prime Minister is walking behind. I look at, you know, Swami's Maya. And I said, Swami, the Prime Minister is going behind. Swami said, ah, for you, Prime Minister. For me, all children.
Oh.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
For you, Prime Minister. For me, all children.
Wow.
See, this is what Swami's relationship with...
I think each one of us is a Prime Minister for him.
Yes, yes.
Because each one of us is prime for him.
Yes, yes.
That is one thing we have experienced, that isn't it? Anyone, when you are in Swami's presence, if you have got a chance to interact with Bhagwan, and at that point in time, you know that, no, you get a feeling that the Lord has incarnated on earth, coming down from the highest heaven.
Only for you.
Only for you.
Exactly.
That is a feeling only He could give.
He can give.
Only He gives.
Absolutely. He gives you complete attention.
So each one of us is prime.
Is prime for Him.
Is prime for Him.
And sometimes, you know, Swami's jokes may seem like joke, but they are something, you know, of much deeper understanding. And we don't sometimes understand His jokes. And we come to know only much later, you know, what those jokes really meant.
Yes, yes.
One day it so happened, you know, that I was sitting in the upper portico where Swami's car would be parked outside the interview room. And two primary school boys, always budgie boys, would always come with trays and, you know, sit in front. And Swami would always give them apples and bless their, whatever they had in their trays and, you know, ask their name and things like those. It'd be beautiful sight how Swami would interact with those small tiny tots from the primary school and pull their cheeks and bless them and give them Pad Namaskar and sign their photographs.
Mm.
It would be amazing. So one of these two boys were sitting in the portico and then I was observing what was happening from very close quarters. Swami asked these two boys their names. So one boy told his name and Swami said, yes, very good, sit down. The second boy, he told his name and Swami, he said, Swami, I am 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, how do you know? Then he said, Swami, my mother told me.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, correct answer. You don't know what mother tells you is the correct answer. But Swami said, see, you're not 7 years, you're 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody around thought it was a kind of a joke and everybody started giggling and smiling. Mm-hmm. Swami is making fun of this particular boy. He was telling that he's 7 years, but Swami telling, no, you're 21 days old.
Mm-hmm.
After the bhajan barati was given, I met one primary school teacher, elderly lady. And I told, you know, this particular boy, Swami asked him his age, he said 7 years, Swami said, no, 21 days. And we all had a laugh. She said, no, this is not a joke, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
He had a sickness, and he was not getting cured, and you're not able to even evaluate and come to conclusion. What is the ailment about? And he was slipping away and then he was hospitalized in a general hospital. And Swami came to his dream and said, it was the 21st of January that day. Swami came to his dream and said, I will bless you on the New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And without any premonition, Swami came to the hospital, blessed this particular boy, gave him vibhuti in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Physically Swami?
Physically Swami came.
Oh.
And the dream came true. Swami came and sat next to on his bed the same way as he had come in his dream.
Oh, wow.
And then Swami blessed him. And this was 21st of January. And when I told this to the teacher auntie, she said, Beta, it is not a joke. It is true that he is only 21 days old because Swami has saved his life on the New Year Day.
Oh, wow. As you mentioned this, you know, that none of his remarks are any time without any significance. Because I remember many years ago, Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath, whom Bhagwan used to call Jayamma, she had the opportunity to come to Bhagwan when she was very young, when she was a little girl in the Pathamandiram days. So in those days, Bhagwan used to stay in the Pathamandiram and there was only one washroom there. There was no separate washroom even for Bhagwan. So there was only one room where Swami used to stay. This is in the 50s.
50s,
you know? 40s, 50s. And there's only one room where Bhagwan stayed. There was one common well and there was one washroom. So everyone used the same place. So one day Swami had gone out and Jayamma Garu, at that time, you know, young girl of probably 12, 13 years or something. And she just came out of her shower. And because she had just come out, you know, she had not put her bindi, you know. So as she came out, Swami just came in there and Swami saw her and Swami said, oh, now only your bindi is gone. Now only you have become a widow.
Oh God.
Swami had told. And she was like barely 13, 14 years, I think, that time. So it was just a comment made very casually and perhaps humorous at that point in time. No, Swami just simply joking because she's not wearing the bindi. Swami is telling me, what, now only you become widow.
And she lost her husband.
But actually, yeah, but actually as you see her life, that's what happened. She immediately after her marriage, actually, I think within less than a year of her marriage,
she lost her husband.
Yeah, she lost her husband. And that's of course a very big story, how Swami blesses him. And you know, Swami spends one entire day completely dawn to dusk with her husband and promises her husband that I will take care of your wife. And he was supposed to go to a foreign station. And Swami assures him that I will look after completely. It's just that that foreign station turned out to be a foreign land, a foreign heaven. So what I was trying to say is, you know, any of those comments, as you very rightly said, everything is so profound. Nothing is light. Nothing is
light. We cannot take anything lightly. And especially with Swami, even in our heart of hearts, if we make a particular, you know, promise to Swami, we should also not take it lightly.
Correct.
Because Swami is always looking at the sincerity of what we are telling, what we are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of, you know, one instance wherein a vice chancellor who had just joined for our, of the institute, Swami usually calls, you know, the vice chancellor or the elders from the institution of the organization, sometimes for meals along with him to his residence, to Poonchandra. And that particular day after he joined, as was the norm, Swami called him for, you know, this particular lunch with him. So when he went there along, you know, the whole table was laid and, you know, the cook was also there, you know, trying to help in serving. And there was a particular tray of salad also kept in the center. So as Swami was looking after his, you know, being well fed, Swami told the cook to serve him the salad also. And now this particular vice chancellor saw that there was a cucumber also in that salad plate.
Mm-hmm.
And it had so happened that when he had gone for the ceremonies for his departed father in that particular sacred place, there's a norm that if you should leave something which you like for some time as an offering to your ancestors.
Oh, okay. Give up something.
Give up something for some time, you know, which you really love as an offering of sacrifice.
Mm.
At that point in time, he told the priest, I give up cucumbers, but actually he hated cucumbers and he never used to have them.
Okay, it is not something
not something which he liked. It's something which he hated.
Okay.
He said, I give up cucumbers for a year's time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became the vice chancellor, then he came here and Swami is serving him. And there's a plate of salad with cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami is telling the cook that, you know, please serve him the salad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to now resist.
Mm-hmm.
He can't tell the whole story.
Obviously.
He's trying to resist. And no, Swami, I don't need. Swami says, it's very hot here. You know, the salad is and cucumbers will be very good for you. It cools the blood down. It is very good for your health. No, Swami, I don't want salad at all. And Swami became very serious and said, hey, you must have salad. Hey, you give him.
Oh my God.
And you know, then he had no other option, but he had to start partaking the cucumbers without, you know, really having the heart because he had taken a vow of not having cucumbers.
Mm.
And then Swami made a very serious comment and said, at that time when you made this vow of giving up the cucumbers that you hate, at that very time, I had made a sankalpa that I will make you eat cucumbers within the next 1 year's time.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and Swami said, see, the moment you made this particular wrong vow, that I give up something which not I love, but I hate.
Mm.
At that very moment, I had also made one sankalpa and a vow, that I will make you eat cucumbers within the next 1 year's time. And see, you are being made to eat now. Is that the way you give up something which you like? You are trying to cheat God himself and trying to play truant with your own ceremonies of your ancestors? It is very serious business. So that lesson was driven home.
You should never ever try to outsmart God.
Never.
You have no clue what you are getting into.
Yes. Better take God seriously. Though he's very humorous and lively and jovial at times, we better take it seriously.
You cannot take. You can have light moments with the Lord.
Yes.
But you can never take him lightly.
Lightly. Absolutely. What a beautiful.
He will fill you with lighter moments.
Yes.
I think because he wants us to be light, he wants us to be bright, he wants us to smile. But you cannot laugh at who he is. You cannot laugh at what he is doing to you. You cannot laugh at the lessons that he's teaching you.
Never, never, never.
Wow, fantastic. Well, Deepak, I know you can go on. There are so many more tales.
Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes.
Out,
yes.
And I think
we should have one more session sometime in the future.
Definitely.
Maybe with our humorous memories.
Yes.
With so grave lessons, really.
Yeah.
Deep lessons.
Really. We should continue this. And I really pray to Swami that, you know, we get another opportunity to continue this discussion. Thank you very much for coming. And I think the message that came across to me, that
as I just said, we can enjoy great light moments with the Lord, but we should never take the Lord lightly.
Lightly, never.
Only then our lives will be enlightened.
Very correctly said. Beautifully said.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Deepak, for coming to the studios and for lightening and brightening up this episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sayonara. So with that, dear listeners, it's time to wind up this last leg of Thursday Live coming to you from the studios of Radio Sai. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any queries or comments, feel free to write to us. As always, you can send your emails to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude and love, we offer ourselves at His lotus feet and thank Him immensely for this wonderful opportunity of reliving these divine moments and sharing His love. Dear listeners, thank you again and Sai Ram.
You were listening to an episode of our program Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. This episode was first aired on 28th April 2016 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.